From EWTN News Nightly in Washington, D.C., I'm Veronica Dudo with an EWTN News Link. President Trump rejects Iran's return to peace proposal, calling it totally unacceptable. This is both sides exchange fire, the U.S. hitting two Iranian oil tankers and the United Arab Emirates reporting Iranian drone strikes. This morning, the 17 Americans who were on the cruise ship hit with the Hanta virus landed in Omaha, Nebraska. Officials say one person has mild symptoms, while another has tested mildly positive for the Andes strain of the virus. The Americans were taken to the University of Nebraska Medical Center for further evaluation. Pope Leo XIV prays for all mothers during his Sunday Regina Caeli address, remembering especially those in difficult circumstances. On Mother's Day, he entrusted them to the intercession of Mary. I'm Veronica Dudo with EWTN News Nightly.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
The guy's looking for a deeper answer. He better go somewhere else. Call to communion with David Anders. Catholic Answers with Jimmy Akin. You get some deeper answers there. I deal with the... I like to think it's the understandable, the commonsensical, but in fact, it's probably just the light shallow. Good to have you here on The Doctor Is In. I am Dr. Ray Gritty. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, on some 400 to 500 EWTN Catholic Radio affiliates. Also, Sirius Satellite Channel 130, as well as the many, many apps that you can get on your phone through EWTN or Ave Maria or the many of the local stations or networks. A lot of very big, nice networks that have built up over the years under the big EWTN umbrella. What else can I tell you about this program? Today's a little different than the call-in, as Mondays usually are. This is called E-Person Monday, not email. No, gender insensitive. Dr. Ray, it's spelled differently. Somebody did send me that in an E-Person. They said, you don't have to say E-person, it's E-M-A-I-L. I said, yeah, I know, but our language police are so hyper-vigilant that you can get in trouble even if you're using a different word that sounds like it's linguistically insensitive. And oh, by the way, I don't want to go too far back on this, but there was a mayor in Washington, D.C. who used a word that sounded like an absolutely politically unallowable word. It was not the word. And it wasn't even, well, it was somewhat remotely similar in sound, but it meant something completely different. He was excoriated. Yeah, I can use that word. He was. He said, look, wait a minute, this is what it means. He probably apologized like crazy. He backed off immediately instead of simply saying, that's not what I said. Get over it. Okay, enough of that digression. E-person money, we'll get to your e-persons. When I was in the evangelical world, I was there for about 8 years, I noticed that they had much better, if you will, marketing than we Catholics. We had sound bites. Sound bites that sort of flowed off the tongue. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Referring to the Bible, of course, and interpretation. Major on the major and minor on the minors. In other words, put all your efforts into the big points of doctrine. And minor on the minors, meaning, you know, you got some flexibility there. We have to agree to disagree. All right, so let's get along, even though we disagree. What else? Major and major, minor and minor. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. That was a big one. In other words, if you don't really know what a particular verse means or is to be interpreted, you look at all of Scripture, which is very difficult to do, of course, if you're not a Scripture scholar. Everybody thinks they know Scripture so well. But all you have to do is to actually study even one small part of Scripture to realize it's as deep as the ocean. And I thought about this. I think, do we Catholics have any of those? If you go up to a Catholic and you say, hey, why do you think Peter was the first pope? Well, he had a unique position of authority that our Lord established there at Caesarea Philippi when they were standing in front of this big monolithic rock with all of these niches in it with the various gods, and Jesus took that environment to ask Peter, who do men say that I am? And by the way, I've seen a lot of rewrites say, who do people say that I am? Okay, see what I mean about linguistically insensitive? They even changed the language of the Bible. Who do men say that I am? No. You try to explain like that, and you'll lose him. You need a soundbite. How about this? Pete's got the seat. Don't bury without Mary. Eucharist, the host with the most. Now, there was one soundbite where I was in the evangelical world, and it's very, very common among what you might consider more fundamentalist, evangelical, Baptist perspectives on Christianity, and that is, once saved, always saved. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Ask Him into your heart. You will be saved forever. Do not pass go. You will go straight to heaven. There is nothing you can do to lose your salvation. And there are words that are cited in Scripture. For example, in the Gospel of John, he says at the end, there are many things that our Lord did that if all of them were put in books, suppose the whole world would not be enough to hold all the books. But these are written so that you might know. See, that's one of the big verses. And I always said, yeah, these things. In other words, all of this is involved that you might know that you can be saved. However, I came to the conclusion after I got confused when I was in the evangelical world about once saved, always saved, because it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Dr. Ray, that's an awful strong statement to make about something that is at the absolute core of so many non-Catholic Christian traditions. Well, let's look at it. Suppose young man, 7 years old, goes to Bible camp, and he confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he goes home and he tells Mom. She's very, very pleased. You're a Christian now, son. And he loves the Lord. Age 17, Billy Graham crusade. He goes down in front, and he recommits his life to Christ. In fact, he's grown close to our Lord. Goes into college, wants to get a degree, a Master's of Divinity. Wants to be a preacher. He's hired in a small little congregation, but he's very good. He is very good. He's an incredible preacher. That's really the core of most non-Catholic type services. Well, the more evangelical, fundamentalist type Baptist. He's good. And his congregation grows, and he's hired at another place, and he's got himself quite a reputation for being a great preacher. 43 years old, wife, 3 kids. This man is a high-profile Christian. 28-year-old girl moves in next door. One thing leads to another. He leaves his wife and his kids, and he's out of the ministry. And he really kind of sort of abandons Christianity. Is he still saved? Now, the answer to that question, and you can extrapolate this to many other like scenarios where someone who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and is now, quote unquote, a Christian, for whatever the reason, just drifts from Christianity, just abandons it, in every way doesn't practice it. Are they still saved? Now, the number one answer that you have to give to that, and it's the answer I got all the time, it was the standard answer to someone who has, at one time, asked Jesus Christ into their heart, with all genuineness and sincerity now. This wasn't a fake. They did it because they were so moved. But at some point, 1, 2, 5, 6, 8 years later, they're gone from Christianity. Matter of fact, they may even hate it. We know situations like that. That's not unusual. Our Lord talked about that in Scripture. People who willingly accept the gospel, but with the cares of the world, they drift away. The parable of the sower of the seed. The answer that you give to that, if you believe it, once saved, always saved, makes absolutely no sense. And that is this. He must not have been saved to begin with. He must not have been saved to begin with. That means, in the case of our pastor who ran away with a 28-year-old girl after being a Christian for 36 years from age 7, was mistaken. He couldn't have the assurance of salvation because he left it. And he left it, the only reason was because he must not have been saved to begin with. So he was completely fooled for all those years. Now, the answer to that is, no, he wasn't fooled. He was a Christian, but he left it. Well, okay, then if he left it, you can't have once saved, always saved, because you can leave, which is what the Catholic Church teaches. Well, then how can somebody know they're saved? Through what the Church has always taught, and what Christianity has always taught, and what the Bible teaches, which is, if you persevere with God's grace to the end, you can have moral certainty. You can't make the call for God. That's presumption. That you will be with him in heaven. Now, there are certain scripture verses you just can't get around. For example, I believe it's 2 Peter, second letter of Peter, where he says, it would have been better, I'm paraphrasing. Look it up. 2 Peter 2:22, I think. Would have been better for one not to have known the way of salvation than to have known it and left. In other words, what Peter was saying is, whoa, it's worse on you if you know it and you leave it. He said it was like a dog returning to its vomit. What about this one? In Acts, where they're replacing Judas, they basically said, it is good that we replace Judas, who from this apostleship fell. Now, were they saying he wasn't ever saved? Or were they saying he was an apostle, but you can't be necessarily saved if you're an apostle? Who from this apostleship fell. Here's one, another one of my favorites. St. Paul. And by the way, I was talking to a Protestant minister, and I said, what do you do with this verse? And he just stared at me and did not give me an answer. Where St. Paul says, I am not aware of anything against me, but even I do not pronounce judgment before the day. In other words, the day of judgment. St. Paul is saying, this is God's call. That was one of the first things for me where I was, that confused me and started me looking back toward the Catholic Church saying, this makes no sense. Once saved, always saved, but if you do leave it, then you weren't saved. Well, then I thought I was saved. I must have been wrong. And if I could be wrong about being saved, then I can't have once saved, always saved. Makes no sense. None. It is a nice, traditional kind of theological cliche. Now, I know there are those of you listening to me who think, Ray, you are totally wrong. You've got this all wrong. Well, because this is an e-person Monday, we can't take calls, but I should have saved this for calls because I know I would have got them. Once saved, always saved. It's a great soundbite. But theologically, it's not sound. And it's not something that Christians all the way back believed. And it certainly has all kinds of verses in Scripture that say you can walk away. All right. By the way, that particular example is in my testimony back to the Catholic Church that I often give called The Logic of Being Catholic. All right, when we come back, let's get to some e-persons. Dr. Ray.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Renero Condalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthemaybeonefilm.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You want to pass the Catholic faith on to your children? A very good way is to teach your children at home. You want to protect your kids from the toxic culture that surrounds us? Do you want to have a greater influence than what your kids are learning? Once more, a great way is to teach your children at home. No teacher is going to care about your kids as much as you do. Seton Home Study School is the best way to teach your children at home. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Program. Now, here's your host, that master of mustaches, the punisher of pretzels, that cyclone of psychology, Dr. Ray Guarendi. Hit it, Jerry.
In the words of Andy Rooney, living a long life appeals to everyone. But the idea of getting old doesn't appeal to anyone. Yeah, you ever notice how those two got to go together? You want to live a long life, you're going to have to get old. I don't want to get old. Well, then you're not going to live a long life. Oh, what do we got here? Dear Dr. Ray, please help me know how to respond to my sister. My sister and I have been at odds all of our lives. Okay, I don't need to read a whole lot further than that to know that in all likelihood, this is not going to be a good relationship, and you more or less have to somehow float with it as best you can, and recognize it's probably never going to be a close one, and get to the point where this sister doesn't get to you, or worst case scenario, you limit contacts. There has never been an overt declaration of war. But when we were young, I was the studious one. She was the rebel. I loved the church. She ridiculed it. She sneered at my friends while she had lots of wild friends. Don't you notice how people do this? I'm going to put you down in all kinds of ways because I'm superior. And anytime you have to put somebody down in all kinds of ways, you're struggling with your own inferiority. We are now 74 and 72. My dear, you got one whole lot of perseverance and tolerance if this person is constantly badgering you. You might want to put some distance there quietly. I've been married 53 years. My husband and I have five adult children. She is never married, but lives with her male partner of many years, who now has severe diabetes and requires constant care. Okay, so she's probably not real happy about her life. You got to figure that. All these years, she's despised my husband from day one. Day one, meaning as soon as I met him, I didn't like him. Whatever that was, 50-some years of not liking him. Well, she says despised. She says she just doesn't care for him, in quotes. Obviously, he's too conservative, though we avoid such discussions. Well, you may not be able to avoid him if she doesn't want to avoid him. And it sounds like, as I'm going to read on here, that she doesn't. Her main method of contacting me... So, okay, right off the bat now, we don't really have a relationship here. The only way she really contacts you is, at this point, here, I'll send you a group text. You can read it. That really speaks of the shallowness of how she wants to view this relationship. Her main method of contacting me is to send a group email to our two living brothers and me. Most often, it is hate mail about our president or something about how the socialist countries of Europe are happier than we are. I don't answer that mail. It just seems like bait to get me to react. Well, my dear, I don't think it seems like bait. I think it is bait. I think it's in your face. When you're getting this kind of stuff, somebody's telling you, really, I don't want to have a relationship with you unless you are exactly like I want you to be and think exactly like I want you to think. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there like that. If you believe the surveys, and I don't want to get political here, but those who call themselves to the left of the political divide are much less likely to want any conservatives as a friend. Today she sent me this. Passing this on, and then it was an advertisement for a tea shop. She says, "Do you ever want to do anything together?" And then, in quotes, capital, "We are sisters, after all." Now, this is probably surprising because it's coming out of the blue. Here's a woman who is, in so many ways, picked at, badgered, put down, criticized her sister and her sister's life and her sister's views and her sister's husband. Whew, I'll tell you, God bless you for your patience and perseverance in dealing with her. "I'm not sure how to respond, Dr. Ray. I don't want to utterly destroy the relationship." Well, it's kind of thin, ain't it, anyway? And besides, how would you utterly destroy it? Other than just being nasty back, if you send her an email back that says, "What are you talking about? You haven't liked me for 50 years and you're saying something like this? What are you, nuts?" Okay, that would probably utterly destroy it. But I feel like telling her how surprising it is that she wants to, quote, do something together when her previous email was about no kings and dump Trump. I guess I could ask her, "What did you have in mind?" I wouldn't, because then she'll tell you, and then you'll have to refuse, and then she'll get even madder. I try to forgive her, but I doubt that she has changed her attitudes at all. Well, I wouldn't doubt it. This seems to be locked in. It's part of persona for her. It's who she is. And you have persevered with this. God bless you. You've done well. I would say something like this. "Oh, at my age..." You can always hide behind your age. I do. "At my age, I'm not really looking to take on new things. I've got things in my life that are now starting to make more demands on me. So thank you for the offer and the invitation." Now, there you go. If she gets mad because you didn't have a good enough reason for your refusal, then that's just another sign that you're never going to be able to do anything to please her. But I think that's probably the most benign thing you can say. At this point, you're not taking on new stuff. I have to do that all the time when people call me for things. I get all kinds of calls, and I'd say, at this point, I'm looking to thin out things. I'm not looking to take more on. And I think that that's a good non-personal answer. But if she takes it personal, which my guess is she's gonna, well, not a whole lot you can do about it. I think you can be pleased that you have persevered in a relationship with a woman who's constantly criticizing you and picking on you and trying to write your husband off. There's nothing written, I think, in our faithful doctrine and in church teaching that basically says you just got to keep putting your face there to get slapped. You can be civil to her, you can be pleasant to her, but in terms of a relationship, you don't have much of one, it sounds.
What is meditative prayer? The Catholic Catechism defines meditative prayer as, above all, a quest. The mind seeks to understand the why and how of the Christian life in order to adhere and respond to what the Lord is asking. Since the required attentiveness is difficult to sustain, we are aided by books such as sacred scripture, especially the Gospels, holy icons, liturgical texts of the day or season, and writings of the spiritual fathers. If we meditate on what we read, we make it our own. If we are humble and faithful in meditation, we discover in meditation the movements that stir the heart, enabling us to discern those movements. We are asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are as many methods of meditation as there are spiritual masters. The Catechism urges us to develop the desire to meditate regularly. All meditation should advance us to the knowledge of the love of the Lord Jesus. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
If you've ever bought a plant at a garden center, you know most flowers and vegetables require at least 6 hours a day of direct sun. Sure, you can plant them in a shady spot without killing them, but it's not like they're going to thrive if you do. Well, researchers say that to really thrive, most families need 10 to 15 hours of working, playing, talking, and praying together every week. That's why family time is the foundation of the liturgy of domestic church life. If your family isn't getting enough time to connect, then it might be time to rearrange your schedule. You don't need to cancel everything that you're doing, but start scheduling regular appointments for family meals, prayer, and recreation a few months out, gradually building up to a healthier lifestyle. To learn more about living the liturgy of domestic church life, check out our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And if you notice, there's Catholic bashing everywhere you go. They'll have a whole program about nuns who have gone astray. They're hungering for freedom. What freedom? I got more freedom than all you have. I belong to the Lord God. I'm a spouse of Christ. Well, what can you give me? A car? Keep it.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
This is E Person Monday on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Dear Dr. Ray, my son is ready to quit college after his first 2 weeks. Wow. Whoa. Okay. Just because of a math class. Well, the psychologist in me might wonder if it's just because of a math class, but that is the most prominent reason in his mind that he can't take this. Interesting that he's decided after 2 weeks that I'm lost. I'm going to flunk. I can't do this. So the question becomes, even if he can't handle the math class, he can still drop it. Change majors, look at his majors, consider his majors. But the fact that he's in college and in 2 weeks going, I don't like it here. I want out of here. I would say, well, you can be ready to quit. Well, we're going to go at least until the drop ad part of the semester, and then, since we don't want to lose our money, well, no, that's not true. You already paid for it. Too late. So you already paid for it, so you got nothing to lose to say to him, well, I'm not sure I can let you quit after 2 weeks. That's your decision as a parent. I always told my boys, now this is a mom talking. I always told my boys it was college full time after high school. Or if they chose not to go to college, they will be given 6 months to get a full time job. Boy, that's pretty generous, Mom. 6 months? That means they could kind of lounge around at home here and there, maybe pick up a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, but for the most part, just kind of lounge. Ooh, well, all right, your mom, you can give them 6 months. To save money. Oh, okay. I'm not sure quite what this means. They will be given 6 months to get a full-time job to save money for an apartment. In other words, while you're working, you have 6 months to save money so you can move out on your own. Or I'm going to give you 6 months to get a full-time job, and then you're going to save money, and we'll see how long it takes for you to save money to get the apartment. A little unclear here. Now, here's the key. Here's the key to the e-person. Is this too harsh? Now, my first response to that is, who am I to tell you that a parental decision, well within your rights to make, is too harsh? Who am I? I can say, well, here's some pros and cons as I see them, and then you can put them in the hopper for your decision, because ultimately it's yours. It is your decision. I have had parents say to me that at age 18, they are on their own, no matter what. They're good kids, but they're on their own. They're time to be adults. I've had parents say to me, no, he's 28. I think he still needs to get his feet underneath him so he can still live here. Now, either way, there's pros and cons. The parent makes the decision, and the parent has the right to make the decision. So the question is it too harsh? I wouldn't use the word harsh. I would use the word, if you're going to question it, I would say, is this short-sighted? What might I run into? In other words, if you give him 6 months to find a job, you could run into him lounging around until the last month and then him quickly getting a job. That could happen. Or if you say, no, he's going to get a job immediately and he's going to start looking. I would say, well, then what are you going to do if he doesn't start looking? Parents tell me this all the time. I told him he's got to get a job. Well, has he? Well, he says he's looking. How long has he been looking? 4 months. Nothing? Well, he's had a chance for a couple, but he doesn't like those. He thinks that's kind of beneath him. So the question is he really looking? All right, so that's the first thing in that 6 months. But then if you say, well, no, he's going to have a month to find a job, and then he's going to be out on his own. Now, I don't think you're going to say that, and the reason I don't think you're going to say that is because you said you wanted him to save up to get an apartment, but what if he doesn't save up? Hope for the best, plan for the worst. That's always a good motto when you got these older kids, because you always have to ask yourself, what am I going to do if they don't follow through on the condition I've set up? What am I going to do? You got to plan ahead. So in this case, you're saying, no, I'm going to give him 6 full months to save money. That's it. Well, what if he doesn't save money? What if he buys the latest and greatest smartphone, which he probably already has? Or what if he gets a car that it's a little too new and his payment's $726 a month, which is the average payment now? What are you going to do? So you always got to ask those questions. The question is not, is it too harsh? The question is, am I prepared? Now, she says, I'm hoping we don't get to that point. I could understand that, of course. What is the point, though, Mom? What point to get to where you'll say, okay, we got to reassess? You know that. That's your prerogative. And that we can help him find his niche in life. Well, I'm not sure his niche in life is going to be found when he's 19. Maybe it would be better said, we hope we can help him find a beginning direction to his life. And she closes with, just looking for some support. I can give you support, Mom, and my support is this. You are the parent. This is your decision. It's not too harsh, in my opinion. I think it's well within your rights as a parent. The kid has started college, and after 2 weeks, he wants to quit. That's telling me that you're probably going to have some time getting him to cooperate with your six-month rule. If he quit college after 2 weeks, basically saying, I don't want this, I don't like it, it's frustrating. What makes you confident that he will wrap his arms around quickly finding a job, saving money, and then going out on his own where he will live a lot less materially comfortable than if he lived at home? Things to ponder. You always have to look ahead and say, okay, here's my decision. Now, what happens if the adult child on the other end of this decision doesn't cooperate with it? Be prepared. You can say, what if he doesn't cooperate? That's a what if. But if you can come up with an answer to your what if, it takes away some of the uncertainty. Dr. Rick.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
In the 10th rule of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, St. Ignatius of Loyola writes, let the one who is in consolation think how he will conduct himself in the desolation which will come after, taking new strength for that time. How do we take new strength during spiritual consolation? Father Jules Toner recommends prayer of petition for strength in future spiritual desolation, meditation on truths that will sustain in spiritual desolation, consideration of the value of spiritual desolation for growth, reflection on past personal growth through spiritual desolation, and resolution to make no changes in time of spiritual desolation. Father Timothy Gallagher recommends review of the 14 rules for the discernment of spirits and planning for specific situations of spiritual desolation.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
Very nice to be with you. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. The program Doctor is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. This is our Monday variant. We don't always do this on a Monday. Sometimes we have an open Monday, open call Monday. But most of the time, my rough estimate, my very, very rough estimate, is that about 91.2635% of the time we have a call-in on Monday. But this is not one of those 9 percenters. This is E-Person Monday. Hi, Dr. Ray. I have a question, an answer for which I have been unable to glean from hearing you speak and reading your books. Oh, wait a minute here, Dad. Now, I didn't deal with this particular question. However, the principle I have dealt with often, let me lay it out. He says, I have twin 4-year-old boys. Twin A repeatedly takes a large rock about half the size of his brother's head. That's a strong kid to be able to pick up a rock half the size of his brother's head. I doubt that he can throw it. You realize a rock that size is going to weigh many, many pounds. Anyway, he chases his brother, threatening to hit him in the head with it. Dad says, I realize that typically the way to train away poor behavior is simply repetition. That's right. Most misbehavior, you can repeat the consequence or the discipline or the structure or the condition, and over time it goes away. And I will say this. It goes away an awful lot quicker than we grown-ups get rid of our misbehavior. It takes us a lot longer than a kid when we discipline the kid. Our self-discipline takes a lot longer to work than disciplining a child. Now, here's the point. This is the crux. This is the stone of this particular e-person. I cannot afford for this to keep happening. Well, I wouldn't think either would your twin. Of course, I'm really skeptical that your one son is capable of doing a whole lot with that rock, especially running with it and catching his brother, who could be either more fleet-footed or he's not running with a rock. But you could say, no, the aggressive brother is much more the athlete. He's aggressive. The other brother is more laid back, studious, whatever. Okay, I didn't see this coming, and I always like to speculate before I read the rest of it because I didn't remember some of the later sentences. I am not totally sure if the rock thrower is serious because he's never actually caught his brother. There you go. Just as I speculated, he couldn't catch him. I feel I cannot afford the take it slow approach on this. Now, Dad, it's not the take it slow approach, Dad. It's the repetition approach. But, three big buts. We're going to deal with this in a much more stringent way, but there probably will still be a little repetition. Let me explain in the words of Ricky Ricardo. Getting rid of the rocks, Dr. Ray, is not an option, since our neighbor has a large amount of them in his landscaping. I've seen those landscaping rocks. I'd be shocked if they're half the size of his brother's head. Usually they're just kind of like the size of maybe a golf ball or perhaps the size of a baseball. All right. How do you suggest that I deal with this problem or really any other problem where dire consequences would be the end result of even one missed instance of the kid's reactions? Well, that's true. I mean, you get a little 3-year-old who runs out in the middle of the street, okay, or goes up to a dog that is clearly not to be trusted. What do you do? You can't say, I'm going to sit you in a corner for 3 minutes, because you're right. That kind of repetition takes a while to work. Here's what I would do. You ratchet up your consequences. You make them very, very painful. A psychologist colleague of mine calls them toxic. To borrow the lingo of psychotherapy, toxic consequences. In other words, tell the 4-year-old, you are not allowed to pick up a rock and chase your brother with it or throw it. If you do, here's what I'm going to do. Now, cases like that, some parents will say, I'll spank. I will spank because I got to stop that behavior. I have no problems with that. All right, that is one of those situations where, okay, a memorable response. However, even if you do spank, I don't think that's enough. What you need to do is multi-consequence it. In other words, if he would pick up the rock, if he would chase his brother, I'd say maybe the next 8, 10, 12, 15 things that he asks for as a privilege, you simply say, no, 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 I told you, you're not allowed to chase your brother with that rock. So no, you can't have your favorite cup. So no, we're going to grandma's and you cannot have cake. No, you can't stay up and watch that. You're going to bed early because you chased your brother with the rock. In other words, what you're saying is, you realize, son, what's your son's name, Rocky? How expensive it's going to be for you to do this again? It's going to be very, very expensive. The consequences are absolutely heavy. Our daughter stole $30 when she was about 13. She wanted to use it to pay library fines. Her consequences were extremely toxic. I mean, for 2 weeks, she didn't have anything. Shut it down. Because, yeah, that's not a behavior we want you to get in the habit of doing. So we're going to show you how expensive, no pun intended, that behavior is. Same thing with this little guy. He's 4 years old, does stuff like this. Let me show you, son. This is not your basic sit on the steps. This is not your basic go to bed early. This is not your basic I'm going to take your favorite toy. Although, I would say this. If you want to add some oomph to your multi-consequence approach, you tell him that if you do this again, and then you go to something that is his absolute favorite possession. So you see this, son? This will be gone. You'll never have it. I will throw it away. Now, Dad, what happens if, despite all that, he doesn't take you serious and he does it? All right. Then you do what you said. He'll have to feel the consequences, these heavy consequences. And here's where I said about the repetition. It may take 2, 3, 4 times of this. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Not with a 4-year-old. 4-year-olds get shell-shocked real quick. And if they find out, oh my gosh, look what I lost simply because I picked up a rock and chased my brother with it. Now, I agree with you. I don't think he's really going to chuck it at his brother's head. But it's fun to chase him and watch his brother freak out. I think that's the motive here. But you'll tell him, okay, don't do it, because one of these times he may get the impulse to throw it. But the good news is, if it's as big as rock as you say it is, he can't throw it very far. He can maybe throw it a few feet, several feet maybe. It sounds like he can't catch his brother anyway. I'm Dr. Ray. Thank you.
What kind of a God do you have?
Don't say my God. He's your God too.
Don't give him to us. We have enough troubles with our own God.
But there's only one God.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Corda offers Catholic candles that translate the lives of the saints into scents. There are candles for the Holy Family, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Therese of Lisieux, Padre Pio, and more. And they come boxed with the story behind the scent. Corda is a Catholic small business run by a husband and wife team, and each coconut wax candle is handcrafted. More information can be found at cordacandles.com. That's C-O-R-D-A candles.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Our 20th anniversary Danube River cruise was spectacular. Due to popular demand, we have again chartered our own exclusive and brand new ship for a Rhine River cruise to four European countries of the most beautiful churches in Catholic history in Europe. The trip is already half sold out. Join us in June 2027. Immerse yourself in the rich Catholic heritage of Europe.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the Travel Link.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
One of the things that I invite folks to call in on is not just particular questions about their own circumstances. It's generic questions, something that they want to pursue a little bit of an answer on some kind of general subject. This is from Mike. Is emotional intelligence a valid area of study or a junk science? I'm a PhD student in education. Well, first of all, you got to define emotional intelligence. What does it mean? All right. Now, my understanding of it, and there's just an awful lot of ways to describe it, is you might equate it a little bit with social intelligence, being able to read cues, being able to have a certain understanding of an interaction with somebody, what it means. So, you know, there, when I was in Case Tech, we had guys that were absolutely brilliant. These guys were so technologically brilliant, but they didn't know how to talk to a girl. I, on the other hand, was dumber than a box of rocks technologically, but I could talk to girls. Okay, so I should have set up a consultant service. So, in a vague way, emotional intelligence is harder to measure than the traditional intellectual type of intelligence, which is measured by a whole bunch of problem-solving skills put together on tests where you measure your performance against a body of like persons, your age, perhaps your intellectual level, your educational level. So it's not junk science. There is such a thing as being able to understand, have some empathy, read social cues, exert good judgment in situations. You know, people that you think to yourself, what would possess them to do that? Didn't they see what the consequences were going to be? And it isn't just one time that they do it. These are people, you know, that they just seem to constantly create problems for themselves because they can't see consequences beyond their nose. So yes, that kind of emotional intelligence, if you will, is legit. It is legit. But it speaks also to, we've come to understand that intelligence is a multifaceted thing. For example, somebody who is a brilliant musician, they can compose, and their skill is just off the charts. But if they took an IQ test, they'd be average. So musical intelligence is, they're geniuses. How is that? Or what is called savants, used to be called idiot savants, that's a pejorative term, savants. A savant is someone who has this skill that you just cannot explain. Overall, they may be autistic, they may be developmentally delayed, but if you say, how much is 1,265 times 9,842, they'll look at you and within a matter of seconds they'll give you the correct answer. Or if you say, what day of the week does May 15th, 2172 fall on? I'll look at you. And then I'll give you the answer and you'll check it out and that'll be it. So how do they do this? That kind of off the charts intelligence in certain areas. So we've come to realize that intelligence isn't necessarily just the ability to solve a particular defined set of problems put together by psychologists for tests, that it can have a much broader application. Now, that said, generally, there is a positive relationship between somebody's IQ score on a traditional intelligence test and their abilities to function well. That is true, right? It's not a one-to-one relationship. There's an awful lot of very bright people out there who are just making a shambles of their lives. But as a rule, when you're a better thinker, you tend to make better decisions, and therefore you live better. Okay, thank you for joining me here on the Doctor's Inn. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, for keeping me company there at Ann Arbor. I thank all of you for staying with me on this particular episode variant of The Doctor's Inn. Walk with God, and that is the peak of intelligence by far.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
All Catholic, all the time. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Join the San Antonio Vocations Office for this year's volleyball, dodgeball, and clerics event. Cheer on your parish priest or root for our San Antonio seminarians. Experience the joy of the priesthood, completely free, on Tuesday, May 26th at St. Luke Catholic Church. Mass begins at 6:30 p.m., followed by the games and fun for all. For more information for vocations or this event, contact the Vocations Office at 210-735-0553.
The Guadalupe Radio Network would like to thank Dr. Christopher York, an ENT doctor practicing in medical and surgical treatments of disorders of the ears, nose, and throat, with an emphasis on thyroid and parathyroid surgery. Dr. York is also past president of the Catholic Physicians Guild of San Antonio and can be reached locally at 210-499-4589. Thank you, Dr. York, for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network.
One of the most powerful habits I've cultivated is writing congratulatory notes to people publicly recognized for their work. If I see someone in the news or online doing something meaningful, I send a message. I encourage my coaching and communication clients to do the same. It's not just smart business, it's deeply Christian. We're called to celebrate one another's efforts and accomplishments, yet too often it feels easier to criticize than to praise. If someone's doing good, even if you don't personally like that person, congratulate them anyway. Don't let jealousy silence your kindness. Their success doesn't diminish yours. Let's be people who shine light, not cast shadows. Let's communicate congratulations with sincerity and grace. In the Gospel of Matthew, it reads, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So my coach's question of the day is this: who can you celebrate today with a word of congratulations? This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Hi, Julie Carrick here, host of We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of many of today's Catholic recording artists. I am delighted to be the host of this weekly program on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time. Julie Carrick with We Sing Our Faith, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central, here on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio. On the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul.
Catholic radio for your soul.
And also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.